Welcome to the Loving Awareness Timeless Wisdom Audio Archives. I'm Savi Ma. Hello, dear soul family. I'm Savi Ma from Loving Awareness Sanctuary, and I want to share a series of especially sacred to me podcast treasures that we found recently in our audio archives. In these podcasts, I interview a person who would fast become one of my life's greatest gifts and teachers. Kay Snow Davis was and will always be my most inspiring soul life mentor. The compass of light she opened to me continues to guide my way on day by day in every way. In listening back to these interviews and hearing Kay's distinctive voice, I feel waves of her loving presence and wisdom guidance washing over me as if these conversations were just yesterday. In my voice, I hear the curious youth in my questions and the wellspring of pure joy and tapped-in consciousness that Kay always brought forth in me. She knew better than anyone, better than myself at the time, how to bring my gifts alive, and for that, I'm eternally grateful. One of Kay's greatest gifts was to help others see their own light and to see how to express that light through their soul purpose. She taught me the value and the fulfilling heart work of being in service in this way. By her example, I found my inner call to my own path of guiding others to the divine light within that continues to evolve and be my most passionate, inspired work to this day. We met Kay Snow Davis around the time we started podcasting, back in 2006, when we lived on the Garden Island of Kauai. Meeting Kay was like coming home to Soul Family. She knew me, she saw me. And through her loving guidance and reflection, I came to know myself more deeply than ever before. She had this way of shining her laser presence and light into the recesses of my being. She was the greatest cheerleader, and she was constant encouragement to me. She showed me that living through the authentic nature of who I really am is the greatest way forward. She was the first to help me see what true freedom from within really is. Infinite gratitude flows from my heart to Kay every single day. Not a day goes by where her presence isn't honored and recognized by me. She continues to inspire me to be more and more of who and what I really am. She left her earth body much too soon, in May of 2010, and we had so much more life and love and joy to co-create together. But she is with me always, and I just know she celebrates with me as her presence lives on through the loving service and work of my life. Kay had a way of helping people to see their true essence. She shared what she called soul purpose living and founded and devoted her life to her Global Family Education and Soul Purpose Academy. After meeting Kay and resonating with her profound commitment to humanity, we co-created with her and supported her efforts toward global reach by helping her to learn about and embrace blogging and podcasting and social sharing to bring her teachings and soul connection far and wide. She was already traveling internationally with her teachings in Japan, and we helped her bring her global family closer together via the web. My commitment to live the fullness of my soul alive and to serve and love while helping others to do the same continues to be inspired by Kay's presence in my life. There's a certain full circleness I feel in sharing these timeless wisdom podcasts with Kay. Tingles of truth bumps ripple through my awareness as I feel her loving smile warming my heart. I can see her before me now. Inner child fully activated, bouncing up and down with glee, clapping hands together rapidly in front of her heart as she repeats, "Oh, this is so good. Goody, 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 good." I loved when she did that, and I still see it so, so clearly in the heart of my mind. I love you to infinity and beyond, dear Kay. To everyone listening, my name, Savi Ma, is a recent creative expression of my soul. You'll hear Kay refer to me as Deborah, which is my birth name. I used to talk with Kay about knowing that one day my name would change, and now it has. Enjoy this conversation with Kay. May your soul tingle with resonance and your heart warm with knowing. Bright blessings, soul family. We have a consciousness-inspiring interview for you today. International author, soul purpose astrologer, and inspirational speaker Kay Snow Davis is with us. Her innate wisdom and knowledge in the field of personal and spiritual development is extensive. Having the ability to reach beyond the illusory boundaries of the 3D world and able to provide tangible, practical means for us to evolve in a safe and grounded way. For over 30 years, she has attracted international recognition through her books and seminars. She has authored and published two incredible books titled Point of Power and Wheel of Life Cycles. She has participated nationally on radio and television. This is her first podcast experience as she leaps into the realm of higher potential utilizing the World Wide Web. Kay is the founder of Global Family Education Center Incorporated, which promotes and supports balanced and harmonious living through shared knowledge, information, and resources globally. She believes strongly that education is key on the pathway to a sustainable consciousness. Let's begin here by extending a warm welcome to our friend Kay Snow Davis. Yay! Thank you so much for being with us, Kay.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. I've looked forward to this.
Yes, we've been awaiting your arrival, and so this is very, very timely. And you know, we were talking the other day, not on the audio microphone. Thank you, Ruby, for being here with us. Our microphone's yes. name is Ruby.
Hello, Ruby.
When we were talking the other day, you said something that really made me think, and I'll quote you here. You said, "The greatest harm on the planet is the way that people think of themselves, and that we need to teach people how to create a relationship with self again." Mm-hmm. And that really stuck with me. I really thought, wow, you know, that's really it. So maybe, Kay, to open today, you could kind of just give us a little bit in that thread, and then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of my favorite topics that moves through my mind continuously, because over the 30 years, I see how that's just interfacing and influencing people's reality, and how instrumental it is in however they hold their own balance, their own quality in life. And in way too many cases, how detrimental. So when I realized that we have the ability to shift the conditions that we've lived with, or that we've experienced, by having a new relationship with ourself. And there's this tremendous desire for people to be in relationship. And I believe that relating is what all life is about. And this desire to relate outside of ourself and seeking that as the answer or the reward or, you know, some nirvana aspect, except if the initial relationship with self is not honored, not accepted, not appreciated, that will always bleed out into the outside circumstances and then cause the cloudiness or the distortion. So that's my focus, is in soul purpose living, is come home. Come home to your heart. Come home to your truth. Come home to that innate place in us that is always in a state of perfection in relationship to universal consciousness. So I appreciate your bringing that up again, because it's not something that you bring up in everyday conversation, but it is really something that's on my mind practically every day, because I'm so reminded by the clients that I have, and then watching our precious children and having so much of their clarity taken away in the imprints and the environmental conditions. So It's very important, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So how do you feel one goes about beginning to even connect with that idea of needing to find that relationship, finding that self, finding a new way to relate?
Mm-hmm. That's a really key question, because of our training, our education, our socialization, our religious venues, all the type of things that are influencing us, our indigenous nature gets buried. We're all indigenous. If we weren't, the lettuce that comes from this sacred earth would not provide food source for us, wouldn't provide nutrition, wouldn't digest. So in my method of searching for coherence and for resonance, I always have to go back to the earth. As what is my relationship with the earth? How does this occur? And so, you know, in a scientific venture, there has to be some point that's measurable in order to tell what direction the experiment's going. So in my world, since I'm not a scientist, I still, for me, need a stable place of reference. So for me, it's the earth that has been here way longer than I have. It's so much bigger than I even imagine. And it's so beautiful. And it's so filled with abundance and incredible life, some of which I know about and most of which I don't. So I know if there's a package that's that profound, then I ought to be able to take this little speck called me and relate it to that profound package and find some way to make sense of living, and some way to make sense of the order. So it's from that place that my reference goes. And the first thing, of course, is the breath. When we come out of the womb, the first thing is that we receive the breath. We don't know if the air is pure. We don't know if the lungs will work. But that's our first thing, is receive the breath. So it feels to me like that's our connection with the earth and with the universe. Receive the breath. Receive the life. Receive that profound gift in complete trust and without all of the fear, doubt, and worry components that we've created. Then living in Hawaii for 17 years and learning that aloha is alo is your universal space, and ha is the breath. So aloha, which is now becoming an internationally known word, actually means that we all share the same breath. So that is further support for me that the indigenous tribe of the Hawaiians recognize the importance of the breath and giving us the opportunity then to celebrate it through music and dance and many lovely traditions of the Hawaiian culture.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Beautiful artistic ways to mm-hmm. express what that is mm-hmm. for each culture mm-hmm. individually. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I really recognize that in the children, today, as you were giving me your answer, I was really visualizing at first buildings and concrete, and you know, almost the, because you're talking about the earth and the connection and really being present and feeling that life-giving sense and force from the earth. And I was at that time strangely picturing cities and concrete, and as I was listening to you, I was hearing, oh, but you know, there's all these people living in concrete and structures and so out of touch with what is earth and what is nature and what is that original breath that brought everything into being. And then as you continued to talk, moving into then the children, I'd see children sort of dancing through my mind space as you were talking, and the indigenousness of all of us, but in Hawaii, and how beautiful the children in Hawaii are, and really recognizing when I see them that they are the living breath, they are the living example. And so as people are listening and maybe wondering how, you know, how do we make this all make sense? What do we do with this? How do we begin to relate with self? Is it possible that the children are a gateway or a pathway for us to recognize that?
I love those thoughts, Deborah, and I feel very congruent with those thoughts, because without new life, there is no future. And our children are the new life. They're the new way of thinking. They're the new way of living. They're the new expression. So I feel like that's a real key in our socialization, to have greater respect for the new life of these children instead of trying to make them become our old thinking and mold them into our history. It's why don't we have more of our intention as adults or the ancestors to follow their thinking, to follow their light, to follow their essence. It just flashed through my mind at that very time in the prophet, in Khalil Gibran, mm-hmm. and he talks about the children and that their way into the future. And I really do feel that. And as you were talking about the city, I know how many times when I've been in cities and see the children just playing on the concrete or behind these brick walls and these fences, and my heart just longs for them to be able to have their feet on the ground and have that experience. I feel like it's just so valuable. And since it was a huge part of my life growing up in Colorado and growing up on ranches and farms, and that it's very important to me. It might be different for people who have grown up in the city with concrete. They may have a whole different relationship with the earth than I do. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It is fascinating. And I think also in my experience talking to people who've maybe grown up mostly in those city atmospheres, some of their fondest memories are thinking back to times where they may have taken vacations or gone to places that were then outside the city. So it's interesting if we can really acknowledge and think about those times, mm-hmm. and what it was about that. Was it that it was just a fabulous vacation, or was it that then we were connected, that then we found that place connected to the earth?
I think those are very important things to recognize. And one of the things that I notice in America, or when I've been in Italy or Japan, is it seems like there's two main places excuse me, that people really, when their time is free, they like to gather with each other around food, or they like to gather with each other outside in nature around food. So food is a continuum.
I know it is for me.
Yes. And of course, it's just a huge thing in both Italy and Japan, where food is art. food is creation food, which I truly believe it is. Mm-hmm. It comes from the earth as this incredible bounty of art. Why would it not be treated that way right to our plate?
Mm-hmm.
But I really noticed that of all the ages and the generations, how they gather around food and they gather outside. I think those are good indicators of how we balance ourselves.
So that's another interesting perspective when we think about maybe a generalized perspective of the American culture, how we've become fast food, processed food, you know, that we're not sure if there's even real food in some of the food we eat mm-hmm. anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that looks like in relationship with the things that we're talking about too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important point, Deborah. And then the other thing, let's look at the American way of going outside.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt bikes and three-wheelers and what are those things? Jet skis on the water, you know. And so it's like those things that have motors that go faster, which means, of course, the great joy of feeling the air and being out in the train, but it's a totally different relationship with the earth, too. It's a fast-forward relationship that might not actually be about relating to the earth as much as relating to the movement,
mm-hmm.
relating to the speed, relating to the sound. You know, how far, how fast, how dangerous can we do this outside? So I think that's a fascinating thing, just watching what's happening in America.
So how do you think one, if they're listening to this, because I'm in full agreement, I definitely align with that, how do you think one moves then from that space of, yeah, you know, I hear what she's saying, I'm resonating with that on some level, I recognize that. How do I move out of that space and into something else? What is it inside me that seems to be driving me for that movement, that action, that sense of risk or danger, the thrill of the ride? And what's maybe missing, or what mm-hmm. is it that I'm compensating for
mm-hmm.
when I choose those kinds of things?
You know, it makes me think of a tool that I use quite often in sessions, and we call it a life inventory. It's very simple, because you just take an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and turn it sideways, and then in the upper left-hand corner, you put a plus. In the upper right-hand corner, you put a minus. And so it's like, just look at your life and feel your life, and then write down under the plus all the things that feel good. All the things that feel good in your life increase your energy and strengthen your immune system. Then on the right-hand side, write down all of the things that don't feel good. And those things actually weaken your energy and weaken your immune system. Now, once you get clear, what are these energy leaks over here under the minus column? Then you go through one by one. So you'd go to number one and say, okay, is there anything I can do to make this number one a plus? Can I change my attitude? Could I change my behavior? Could I change circumstances around this so that this could actually become beneficial in my life? If that doesn't seem possible, then you want to look, okay, what can I do to take this out of my life? And in that review, if that doesn't seem possible, then it's important to say, okay, I've got to bring this to a neutral place. I have to let go of my resistance or my resentment or my attachments that are causing my energy to leak. Every day, since everything is energy, if we have leaks in our life by our choices, our thoughts, our behaviors, our attitude, our experiences, we're going to have that longing inside of us you're talking about. We're going to start seeking desperately something outside of me to help stop this feeling or to fulfill this feeling. So we start that desperation of reaching out to pull in, when in fact it's a management condition from the inside out. So this is a huge important piece, because all of our thoughts either strengthen us, weaken us, or we can take them to neutral. If it's neutral, then at least it's not going to be an energy leak. And in today's world, you know, where particularly America, since that's where I'm mostly familiar, reaction is not choosing. Reaction is someone else's condition dumped into your world that you have an emotional response to. That may be really good to have an emotional response. And then to find out, well, based on that intense or extreme response, how is that influencing your plus and minus? Is this a leak in your life? Or is this calling up your passion and your power that's going to strengthen you and provide more action? So for me, it's always about bring it home, reference inside, and find out how can I have that balance and manage this energy field that is called a body and me living here.
Mm-hmm. So it's really about consciousness. It's about becoming more conscious. Mm-hmm. And you just brought up self-referencing, and I've also heard you call that self-reflecting before. Maybe you'd like to share a little bit more about that process.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Gerke with Earth Harmony Home, living in harmony with Earth, in tune with Spirit. In our next conversation with Kay, she'll share more on the importance of self-reflection.